Will we come again before the Lord as humans seeking for His touch and His blessing. And I'm glad to tell you that He's been faithful for many years to me. He's been faithful for many years to others that are here. I can't testify for every one of you, but every time you've trusted in Him, He's been faithful to you. I can tell you that much. And He's a wonderful God. There is, without doubt, the aspect of us receiving of His hand times of trial, times of suffering. And also at the same time, we also receive of His hand some of the greatest blessings humans can ever receive. And many times that very blessing is channeled through a time of us being able to be faithful to Him through a time of trial. Some of the songs that we have in our songbook, some of the testimonies that we even have in the Bible, have been born of victories through suffering, where the Lord has brought people through. And I want to tell you, He's still in the business of bringing people through. In a place of victory, in a place of godliness, in a place of refinement in Him. He talks about Himself and describes Himself, the workings of His Holy Spirit to us. In one area like this, He said He sets as a refining fire and a purger to purify the gold. And He's still doing that to all who will submit themselves to His touch. I'm glad we have a Heavenly Father this morning. Had a pastor for a number of years that I held very highly. Wasn't because of the man as much as what God created in the man. But he almost always started off his messages by humbly saying before the congregation, "I thank the Lord this morning for salvation." And he meant it every time he said it. And I don't want to just mimic him, but I want to tell you from the depths of my heart, I thank the Lord this morning for salvation. If you'll open up your Bibles with us over into the fourth chapter of Galatians, I am very encouraged to know that the Lord's interested in working with every one of us. And I also am encouraged to know that He does that even after knowing, He's an all-knowing God, you see, even after knowing how imperfect we are. That is extremely encouraging to me, to know that He sees through all my humanity and my human inability and is still willing to gather me in His arms and say, "Son, let me work with you." That's a very encouraging thing to me. And I'll say that same to everyone here today. You give yourself to Him. He'll take clay and start molding on it. He'll set as refiner and a purifier of all who will give themselves to Him. Yes. Over here in Galatians, the fourth chapter, third verse says, "Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage to the elements of the world." Now, he wasn't just referring to just being physically children here, but he's talking about a time prior to where the Lord had brought them to. There is a growth in the Lord. There is a refinement in the Lord. There is a place of spiritual heritage in the Heavenly Father that He wants to feed our souls and encourage us and draw us up to higher heights and deeper depths in Him. This is the will of our Heavenly Father. That He would take your heart and mind and refine it and cause us, as a song was sung a while ago, Lord, to be just like You. That's God's will. And He didn't leave us without help to get there. He gave us of His own Holy Spirit and His own precious Word to implant them both within our heart. To be active when it gets there. Not to be passive, but the Lord, when His Holy Spirit is implanted, when we receive His Holy Spirit into our heart, it has an action, it has a purifying portion that is brought into you and I. And what He does there, He begins to carve His image on the old block of granite that we are. And I want to tell you, He's a master sculptor. He knows the granite. He knows the heart that we are. And He knows just how to take the chisel. And He knows when to strike it hard. And He knows when to give it little taps for texture. Anybody that's ever carved, I want to tell you, there's sometimes that you give it a mighty blow, and there's sometimes you just give little light taps. But He's a master carver. He's a master sculptor. And He knows how to take your heart and mind and to carve His image right there. And that's what He wants to do. Now He says, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage to the elements of the world. Now, sometimes we think about the elements of the world and we hear the Scripture over in 1 John, the... Forget what chapter, but 1 John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And a lot of times this presents ourselves, what does that mean in our minds, the world? And in our minds sometimes we can start trying to sort it out and carve it up. Well, is it here and it's there and it's not? Folks, I want to tell you, it's anything that tends to being something that's not like God. I don't need to define all that to you, except I can tell you that if you'll receive the touch of the Holy Spirit, the touch of God in your life, He will help you to know right where those boundaries are, and He'll expose and reveal to our minds and our hearts of the understanding good enough to know what things are tending to the things of the flesh.
Amen.
God will expose those things for the good of our soul. And here, Brother Paul, in this writing says, when you, back in your past, you were slaves to the elements of the world. But he said you were slaves. The good news of the gospel, is, as was preached last night, there is a God big enough to deliver us from the elements of the world. There is a God who is still king. There is a God who is King of kings and Lord of lords. And He rides prosperously in the hearts of those who allow Him. And He goes forth conquering and to conquer. He'll conquer today. And He'll conquer tomorrow. If you and I are willing to allow Him, give ourselves wholly to Him, this is the work and the will of the Heavenly Father. But when the fullness of time was come, now I'm thinking here, God was bringing in a plan, we call it a system. He was bringing in something. He was bringing a gift to humanity that we had no ability to attain to. And the Lord Himself was bringing this to fruition. It was spoken of back in the Old Testament. It was alluded to in types and shadows about a lamb that God Himself would provide for Himself. And when John went down and was baptizing in the River Jordan, there came one to him to be baptized. Coming down, and John himself looked at him, and the Spirit of the Lord witnessed to his heart, this is God's Lamb coming down. And John lifted up his voice and proclaimed to all who could hear, behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. And again, I'm greatly humbled. I began to realize my sin was in that. And He did it for me. I want to think again this morning of how degrading sin is and how defiling and how separating it is from mankind, how separating it is of mankind from the Heavenly Father. God is holy. He does not mix with anything as vile. And because all we, like sheep, have gone astray, we've turned everyone to his own way. Because of that fact, there had to be something that could bridge the gap, and none of us had the ability to get from here to there. And so because of our great need and the great deficit and the penalty of death that hung over our heads, God Himself, the holy arm, the zeal of the Lord, provided for Himself a lamb. Provided Himself a lamb for us. And so, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman. What this simply means is that He was in the flesh just like you and I. He was like you and I are in this world. He dealt with the same elements that you and I deal with, yet without sin. God had the ability to make a man born of woman to live without sin. And we are like He is in this world, folks. God wants to do that. And again, there is no way that we can lift our heads in arrogance and say, I have attained this by my might or my willpower, because you haven't. But this is a divine work of the implantation of God Himself in the hearts of mankind. Amen. And that is what God wants to do to you and I as we submit ourselves to His touch. God sets as a refiner, as a purifier of the gold. And He wants to do that in our hearts this morning. Now I said, in the fullness of time, God sent His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Now here in this discourse here, Brother Paul was talking to people who were still tied to an old law system. But I want to tell you today, sometimes you and I can get tied to an old human system in our mind. I want to tell you, we're going to have to break free from all human systems in our mind. Because God Himself has a divine touch He wants to have on our hearts. God wants to plant His own image on our mind, in our hearts, in our bosom, in our being. God wants to carve His own image on you and I. And it supersedes and goes beyond any human organization. I want to tell you, human organizations detract from the touch of the Father. I want to tell us today, there is one thing that marks God's people and God's church. It is those who have cut themselves free from man rule, man thinking, and have taken on God's thinking. And I want to tell you, that's still a mark of God's people. That is still viable truth for you and I today. And I want to tell you, God then calls all His dear children around His very feet and gathers them into His arms, cuddles them in His bosom, and teaches them of His ways and makes them His own. And this is not something you and I as people can create. It is something the Father creates by us submitting ourselves into His hands. Sometimes we as humans decide to devise human ways of creating systems. I want to tell you, any time we do that, we will begin to detract from the glory of God. In the fullness of time, God sent His Son. Do you remember what Mary said to the people there at the wedding feast? They were in trouble. They didn't have enough of the wine at the wedding. And she brought Jesus up there. And you remember what she said to the people? She said, whatever He says, do it. And folks, that's good enough for us today. Whatever He says, do it. Just follow Him. And I want to tell you, when we are led by Him and by the Holy Spirit of God, folks, these two, they blend together. Yes, they're separate entities, but they blend together and testify of one another. Blend together and work hand in hand. Whatsoever He says, just do it. Now, made under the law, this was where Jesus came in that system, in flesh just like you and I, but He came for a purpose. It says, to redeem. I'm thinking right now, my mind goes back when some of the types in the old law system or in the Old Testament. I think of this moment here that we're approaching the thought of God's Lamb. There was a time when God gave His great promise to an individual. Do you remember Abraham? And do you remember what the promise was that the Lord gave to Abraham? He said, through this promise, I give to you, all nations of the world will be blessed. Through your seed. It was a great promise. It was a promise he couldn't really comprehend the fullness of, but he comprehended enough to know this is great and fantastic. And it was a promise that he laid out this sacrifice before the Lord. And it seemed like the Lord didn't receive it for a while. Lord, is it so? Is it so, Lord? I wonder how many times he went over beside that sacrifice on the altar. May have knelt down here beside it and said, Lord, I've done what you said. Why haven't you received it? And said he watched to the going down of the sun. Folks, I want to tell you, keep your hands, keep yourself in the hands of God. Even if you're going through a time you hardly understand. Keep yourself in God's hands. Abraham had the sacrifice right there, and then he said it came down, the going down of the sun. There was a deep sleep, there was a sleep came over him. But let me tell you what began to happen. The Lord Himself began to move in that sacrifice. The accepting hand of God was there. And then it goes on. The Lord confirmed this promise to Abraham. Then as the promise goes on, the child was given. You remember of old age, Abraham and Sarah before, in the age that they shouldn't have been able to have children at all, the Lord Himself gave him this son of promise. And then there came a time that the Lord said, Abraham, give me back my promise. He said it different words than that. But he said, take thy son, thine only son, that I have given you. And it's the promise of God. Take it. And I want you to take it over to this mountain, the place that I'll show you, and sacrifice him back to me. I want to tell you, folks, that's a hard place to be in. Take thy son, thine only son. And so he brought him up, Abraham being a man of faith, because God said it. Well, folks, we don't always understand what God says at that moment. But part of faith is receiving of what God said and doing it because He said it. The man was a man of faith. And he listened, heard the voice of the Lord, and he went, took his son and some of the servants and headed off. And I think about 3 days? Seems like it's a number of miles they traveled to this place of sacrifice. And now we see, where is it? That's over in Genesis. And let's turn there maybe and read some of this. There's some really good things that I get out of this story. I believe that's Genesis, the 22nd chapter. We find here, as Abraham was going to this place, I guess one of the things I'd first like to pick up when God first spoke to to Abraham at the beginning of the chapter in the first verse when God called Abraham's name. This is one of the things he said. He said, "Behold, here I am." Let us be able to always say, "Lord, I'm here. I'm right here where you wanted me." Then it goes on, the Lord is able to deal with him because Abraham was right there in the presence of God. The Lord is able to talk with him and call him, and the Lord and Abraham was able to follow the Lord's impulses. Here he goes up now on the mountain, and he's taking his son up there to sacrifice him to the Lord. And 7th verse said, "And Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And Abraham again said, Here I am." Still here, Lord. "Here am I, my son." And he said, "Behold, here's the fire, and here's the wood." But he said, "But where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And this was Abraham's answer to his son. "My son, God will provide." Let that be a great comfort to you and I today. God Himself will provide. You and I need to be in that place when God calls that we can say, "I'm here, Lord." Sometimes we as humans get anxious. We want to run ahead of God. Or sometimes we get fearful and we want to lag behind. God help us to stay right where He is, and when He calls our name, we can answer back and say, "I'm here, Lord. I'm right here where You want me to be. By Your help, I'm standing right here." Sometimes that's standing. Sometimes that's moving. But either case, we need to be right where God is. Here I am. In that situation, following the Lord, we can have then a great confidence and a faith that when that question is given, like was given to Abraham through by his son, "Where's the lamb?" Abraham is able to say, "God will provide." Yeah. Now, he goes on up, sets the altar, builds the altar, sets it in order, puts the wood. He binds his son, his only son. And now, at some point in our human thinking, we would say, surely there's a point that God says, "I've tried you enough. Isn't there a way out here, Lord?" But I want to tell you, in faith, the man reached out and grabbed the knife. And I can see him raise the knife to come down on his son. He was going to do it. But the Lord Himself said, "Stop." Now, that was a type of what God did for you and I. You know, years later, God took His Son, His only Son, and placed Him on a cross. And the cup of indignation and the knife that hung in the air back here in Genesis came all the way down for your sin and mine. It wasn't stayed. And this morning, that is greatly humbling to me to realize that I had a hand in His death. And He loved me even so. So then, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption. You know what that means? My brother and his wife recently adopted a child. It was a situation where they got a call and realized, understood that there was a child that was being unwanted. The parents were wanting to find a home for this child. My brother and his wife went down there, and this is almost beyond comprehension to me. But the mother who had given birth to this child and had carried it and nurtured it to this point, to the, albeit not maybe nurturing the best, but it's hard for me to comprehend a mother who had given so much of herself to a baby. And then when a woman she had never known came in there and she willingly took the child from her arms and gave it to my sister-in-law. That's hard to understand.
Yes, it is.
But did you know that you and I were without ownership? We were without anyone who loved us. The only nurturing we had was a harsh hand of sin. And there was one who came along and said, "May I be your father?" And he said, "Not only may I be your father, I'll pay whatever the debts that you have." And the debts we have were bigger than you and I could comprehend. The debts we had was one that said, "The soul of sins, it must die." And there was one that said, "I'll pay that one too." And he hung on Calvary and paid it for you and me. And so now I can say along with the writer, I'm redeemed. And I say that with joy in my heart, but I also say that with a great humility, that there is a God in heaven who gave His Son, His only Son, that I can be redeemed. And that is great news indeed, folks. To redeem them, that we might receive the adoption of sons, being translated from the kingdom of this world into the kingdom of His dear Son. Being taken from the prison house, the degradation of sin, and brought over into a place of ownership of a loving Heavenly Father. One who nurtures, one who feeds, one who carves out His very image, who implants then within you and I divinely His spiritual DNA to cause you and I to be like Him. That can only be the sweet and loving hand of a Father, our Heavenly Father. And then it goes on and says this. The sixth verse says, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father." This ties in with the message, with the good news that was spoken to us last night. Folks, this is a divine work of God in the hearts of mankind today. Now, because we are adopted, because now we have been translated from the kingdom of this world into the kingdom of His dear Son, because we have been embraced by a Heavenly Father, there is something God Himself has provided for you and I. Because now we are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son within our hearts. Think of that and let that soak in a little bit. God has given you and I, made it available to you and I, the very same Spirit that He had within His Son. And He has implanted that and put it, sent it into your hearts. Into our hearts. That you and I can speak the same way that Jesus Christ spoke. When He said, "Abba, Father." This is one of great adoption, of great ownership. Abba, Father. Let me tell you what Jesus spoke. Let me tell you what lines He, what the way He spoke. He said, "I always say those things that the Father told me." Let me tell you what He did. He was without sin. Let me tell you what the Lord did in His life. Let me tell you what the Lord did in that man born of a woman. The Lord took that man, and yes, it was His Son, but He also ascends the same Spirit that was in His Son into our hearts, crying the same thing. I want to tell you, dear ones, as we go, we spend the time of our life, we make decisions what to do and what not to do. And as we go through life, sometimes we hear the siren call of the world that gets us all involved in all the intricacies of the world. We start thinking like the world. I want to tell you, God wants to cut those things off. God wants to reveal to us today where His holiness is. God wants us to be secure in His touch. God wants us to live within the boundaries, the realms of His holiness. God doesn't want you and I to strain against His love. God wants you and I to be dear children, one who lives enjoyably under the touch and the moving of His hand. God wants you and I not to be involved. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Don't get involved in those things, dear ones. You know, there's a way that God wants to clothe His people. And I am partially talking actually about our clothing. Our clothing should testify. I'm not going to tell you all the boundaries of that, but let me tell you, our clothing should testify of a loving Heavenly Father. When it doesn't speak of that, when it is speaking of the things of the world, it's not speaking of the things of the Father. Some of the things that we can get our minds involved in, some of the thoughts of the angers of the world, some of the hurt feelings of the world, some of the things are not of God. They're not of the Father.
Brother Marty mentioned last night, one of the things he mentioned, can you really say, you go to that movie house or go rent that movie, can you really say that's the Spirit of the Lord? I'll submit to you tonight, I don't believe it is.
And I'm not one who likes to preach about things, but I want to tell you there's some things hurting people today. There's some things that are trying to come in underhanded and try to deceive us. And I want to tell you, God wants us protected from those things. Let me tell you, the only real defense we have is if we have this Spirit within our hearts crying, Abba, Father. You and I need that. You know, if we're just saying, well, the ministers need to talk about something, maybe sometimes we do need to talk about some of the things. But I want to tell you what we really need. We need to have the Spirit of Christ in our hearts crying, Abba, Father. That's what we need. When we are living to the flesh, and young ladies, when you dress yourself in such a way that is trying to frame your body, trying to put yourself on display, that's not being God on display. And young men, when you give yourself over to that temptation to further amen that by going after women who do that, that's not God on display. Amen. It's not godliness, young men. Amen. Young men, stand up and be a man for God. Amen. Let Him clothe you in His righteousness. Amen. Let the thinking of God be in your heart. Talk like Him. Walk like Him. He's your Father. Yes. And if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, the rest of that Scripture simply says he is none of His. That's the Scripture. What that means, if you and I are living to the flesh, we'll be performing the lusts of the flesh. But if any man live to the Spirit of God, he will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh.
That's right.
This is something you and I must give ourselves to. And I don't say this, I don't want to drive you. It's not my purpose this morning to drive us anywhere. But simply to reveal the will of God. There's only one thing I can't preach it strong enough to cause you to live it. There's only one force strong enough to cause us to be called from the elements, selfish elements of the world unto Christ. And that is, if any man love me, he'll keep my commandments. You're going to have to receive a love for God. Your will must be broken at the very knowledge that God Himself provided a lamb for your sacrifice, your ugly old sin, that carried with it the very penalty of eternal damnation. And death.
an eternal wrath of God. That's what it carries with it.
But there is a God in heaven that was not willing that any should perish. And so He Himself gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever could come to Him and have everlasting life. This is what God wants.
Yes.
Let your mind run today. And let your understanding, let the Lord enlighten our understanding of where His holiness is. What does He want to create in us? And I am not living to you and you're not living to me. We, everyone, are responsible to God. Responsible? Yes, we are. We, everyone, are privileged to hear the voice of our Heavenly Father and privileged to respond to that. Because, see, God draws us with great cords of love and His righteousness. He's not a driving God, but He's a wooing God. But God does want to adorn His children with His own character, with His own purpose. What does He do? Put walls of salvation around His children, does He not? Walls of salvation. That's what He does. And we think, well, salvation, well, that's a term we've used. Let me tell you what walls of salvation are. These are areas where God, by His mercy, sets boundaries. And by those boundaries, He saves us from things that would be destructive. And He puts those walls all around you and I because He loves His children.
Did you know, you and I, we can have, some of us old, we have children, raising children maybe now. I would have been terribly derelict of duty if I saw my child reaching out to grab a rattlesnake, a little child, not knowing how to handle himself, reaching out to grab a rattlesnake, and I said, well, he's going to have to learn. I'd have been terribly derelict of duty if I had treated him. And God doesn't treat you and I like that either. You know what God does? He comes and chastens those He loves. Does He not? I find it challenging to know in my experience with the Lord. I don't have the ability that God does in chastening my children. But as the Lord has chastened me, I find that He has the unique ability to thoroughly chastise me and thoroughly encourage me all at the same time. Only the divine Heavenly Father can do that. But He does do that. It is only when we would rebel against His touch is when we feel discouraged. It is only when I still would cling to my selfish desires is when He has to take stronger measures. You remember over in Revelations, there's a... The Lord referred to her as that wicked woman Jezebel. Do you remember her? But that's not the first thing He said. He said, I gave her space. It's in the Scripture. He said, I gave her space to repent. Let me tell you, folks, for whom the Lord loves, He chastens. This is one of the things that our Heavenly Father will do for and with every one of us if we allow Him. He will touch us in every way He knows how before He rejects us. He will give us space to repent. He wants everyone to come to the knowledge of Christ. It is God's great desire to draw us into His arms and cause us to be like Him. There comes a time, if we continue to reject and go after our own ways, there's going to be a time that He'll identify us as that wicked one. But it's not His desire. His purpose is to create in you His godliness. Listen to this again. And because you are sons, look at all what God did to buy you and I. Look at the price that He paid to adopt ugly people who have taken their all we have gone away like sheep, have taken their own way, have turned everyone to her own way. And the rest of that Scripture said, and the Lord
has laid not on the sheep who went away, but the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. And that's what He felt on Calvary when it was so painful, Lord, folks. It was not the nails that hurt Him so badly. Nor was it the flogging on His back or the spitting in His face. But it was your sin and mine that was hung on Him. And the wrath of God being poured out on your sin and mine. And the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all.
Yes, thank the Lord.
To redeem them. And because you are sons, God further gives a gift. Goes beyond this point, you see. Sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now, there is a place that God wants you and I to enter into. And it's typified over in the Old Law, over in the Old Testament. You remember when the Lord delivered His children out of Egypt? Remember what He said? He said, their cry has come up into my ears. I've heard their groanings. Did you know the Lord has heard the groanings of people who couldn't escape death here on this earth today? He heard the groanings of the sin-oppressed people. And He sent His only Son. He heard their cry. Now, He delivered the children of Israel at that point out of the land of Egypt. God's purpose was for them to gain a land flowing with milk and honey. That was God's purpose. He wanted to give them something special. Yes, He gave them something special in the wilderness. They had manna, that's true, but you know, that wasn't all God wanted them to have. He wanted them to have even more. And He had a special land He wanted to give them to. And in that land, there were mountains. In that land, there was walled cities. And in that land, there were giants. And in that land were clusters of grapes that two men had to carry. In that land was a well-watered land. There was truly indeed a land flowing with milk and honey. And I want to tell you, the devil today still doesn't want you and I to gain it. But the Lord wants it for us. Yes, He does. Yes, if you look at it, you'll say it's impossible for us to gain it. If in our own human minds sometimes today we can look at it and say, well, I've tried so many times and I've failed so many times. I want to tell you, failure does not mean that it's time to give up. I want to tell you, if Thomas Edison would have taken the first few failures, we still wouldn't have the light bulb. But I want to tell you, there is, God wants you and I to keep on as the Lord touches, as the Lord leads, keep on going until the mountains crumble, till the wall cities come down, and we own the city. We want you and I to be like Caleb, who said, when it's all 40 years later, when he's 80-some years old, he said, I want that mountain. Yeah. And the mountain he was talking about was one where the giants lived in. He said, I can take it still today.
Praise God.
I want to tell you what, he knew he couldn't take it in his own arm strength, but there was a God he was trusting in.
Praise God.
And I want to tell you, God wants you and I to trust Him today. The Lord has a land He wants to take us to. One in which the Holy Spirit Himself dwells within our hearts. We have given ourselves so completely and wholly to the Lord. I have sanctified, I've given myself completely to the Lord. Lord, I'm not taking myself off the altar. Whatever You choose, whatever You hand to me, Lord, I want that.
Amen.
Even if it, for the moment it seems bitter, eat it up. It will be in your belly sweet as honey.
Yes.
It will. It will do something sweet and precious for you. God has a land that He wants to take us to. He wants us to dwell in. He wants, there is something precious that the Lord wants to develop in you and I. And it is partially brought out in this Scripture. And because we are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit that's in His Son into our hearts. Being active and doing something. That it, the action that that Spirit has with you and you and I begins to cry out, Father, Father, Holy Father. It's also typified in the Old Testament this way.
talked about holiness was on the bells of the horses. Remember that scripture?
Yes.
As they went forth, your lives should ring out something. And it should ring out, Holy Father. My Father. My Father. We should be actively bowing down in His presence, casting our crowns at His feet here, dear ones. We should actively be saying, My Father, my holy, precious Father, thank You that I can be Yours today. Let our lives speak of Him. As we clothe our persons, as a thinking that I let go through my mind, the things that I'm willing to watch, the things I'm willing to go out after. If I go uptown and I see the undress of the world, young men, let the Lord help you to learn how to turn your face. Speak holy, Father. Let your life say, Father, Father. Let the Lord put boundaries in there. These aren't boundaries to make your life difficult. These are boundaries to keep you protected. To give life, and that more abundantly. That's what it's for. This is His will. And because we are sons, He's given us of His very essence to implant within our hearts that we can cry the same thing His Son cried. Holy Father, this is a divine action of a supernatural God. And I mean by that term supernatural, it's not natural for you and I to be able to live holy. But there is a God big enough to cause us to.
Yes.
My part is to submit myself under the mighty hand of God. Mm-hmm. Just give myself to Him. And whatever He says to do, do it. Pray for me. I want to make heaven my home.